tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
And this week we bring you a chat with Pippa Coombe about rates, priorities and all things council.
So this is the first time ever that council have consulted on an emergency budget, because we always do an annual budget every year, but this time, because of the COVID crisis, council has ended up with what looks like it's going to be about $500 million hole in the budget, because it's just such a big drop in revenue. So it's required a whole rethink about what we can afford, basically. And so this emergency budget is proposing a whole lot of ways in which we're going to have to reduce expenditure. And it's quite brutal. I mean, it's cuts across everything from council services, facilities, stopping projects. And so I think it's really worthwhile giving feedback. And I guess the key question, well, there's two key questions. One is we need council to have some revenue, and that's going to be from rates. And so we're asking a question around, should it be a 2.5 or a 3.5 rate increase? And each of those have big implications. Because if we go for the lower rate, we have less revenue and we can do less. The other question it asks is, what is important to you? And what do you think we should prioritise as we look to rebuild? So that's kind of, I mean, there's a lot of information that goes around that, and it's all on the council website, but that's essentially why we're going out to consult.
What would you see, perhaps from a step back, as the pros and cons of a 2.5% rates increase versus a 3.5% rates increase?
Well, all the planning that council has done through our 10-year plan process predicted a rates increase this year of 3.5%. And so that's where we've had projections around how much income we're going to have and how much we can borrow. If we reduce it down to 2.5, it means we have $17 million less of revenue, and it means we can borrow $45 million less. So it has a domino effect on, like, what are the projects that we can continue with. And, I mean, it's very understandable that people are saying, well, council should just cut our costs. You know, we should cut salaries, cut jobs, cut services. We should cut our cloth. But the problem is that we've had such a big hit of lost revenue from other sources that we rely on, that it means if we also reduce our revenue from rates even further, it's going to just have a massive negative impact. And I think, personally, in terms of how we can recover. So the approach is, yes, that does seem like this is, you know, not the right time to be putting up rates. And for the average ratepayer, we're talking about $1.30 a week. But what we're wanting to do is target financial assistance. So ratepayers who are struggling, we want to help them, rather than just do a cut across the board that will have this domino effect that will have really negative impact for all Aucklanders. It's going to be a very tough decision, and there's a lot of, you know, information around it, and, you know, we really welcome a robust debate, but I think it's important just to kind of understand how council's budget works.
Obviously, with less revenue and less income for the council, there will be cuts within what council can operate and what council can maintain, both within the city and within council. What would you see as being likely to be the first things to go in the event that there's that lack of revenue or lack of income for council in terms of what they maintain?
Yeah, well, just to focus, say, for example, on transport. So what's being proposed is that because of the big reduction in revenue, we should defer projects like cycleway projects and road safety projects, and not have a project, for example, to replace buses with e-buses. That's kind of like in every area, they're going to be kind of cuts like that. So So, for example, with parks and community facilities, there'll be projects that will get deferred. So if a playground renewal was planned, that won't happen next year. I should also add that we're not just covering the hole in the council's budget just from rates and income. It's also looking at, can we borrow more? Can we sell more assets? As well, of course, as just reducing our costs right across the board.
Last week, the Hauraki Golf Forum adopted a updated set of ambitious goals. If we're looking at more of the environmental side of what you do, and say with something like the Hauraki Golf Forum, will a rates change, such as the 2.5% versus the 3.5%, have any effect on being able to achieve those goals? Or will it affect like the prioritisation of different areas that the council manage?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely principles that we're trying to maintain, like to say, you know, we've got an obligation to keep for health and safety and to keep council functioning properly. But it's looking at where can we make cuts in the next year. So just looking at, say, the environment part of the budget and just reading from the consultation document, it's the proposed savings will come from delaying rat eradication, reducing the Kauri dieback research, reducing the Natural Environment Heritage Grant, and reducing the low carbon living projects, reducing the number of animal shelters and closing one on Waiheke, and then reducing staff costs associated with environmental services. So, you know, that's going to all have a big impact. And that's what we need feedback about. Well, is that, you know, we're looking at trying to get savings across everything. We all have, I mean, and personally, I don't think we should be making cuts. You know, there's lots of things I don't think we should be cutting, but we need to hear back from Aucklanders in terms of, well, what are the priorities? And everyone says, oh, we should just prioritise what's essential. But everyone has a different idea of what is essential.
What are the things, you know, that I guess you believe are essential to the running of the city?
Well, I mean, there are core things. I don't think anyone would disagree that we shouldn't have libraries. We've got to pick up the rubbish. We've got to make sure that you can get water out of the tap. But on top of that, I mean, we also have an obligation to the four well banks for Aucklanders. And so we should be continuing to do programs that support the community well bank. So, for example, like grants that go to community projects or, you know, if we say, oh, but arts or events isn't core, but that's a whole lot of people are employed through the cultural sector. So I think we should be, our budget should be prioritised around community wellbeing and also how we're actually going to transition to be a low-carbon city.
Mersin, you said there, something that you see as essential to the city are those kind of resources and kind of services like council libraries and pools and other venues as such. They're set to reopen from this week onwards, Wednesday the 3rd. Obviously, it's important to you. Why do you see it as a big step in essentially rebuilding what we're doing or life after COVID-19?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen how, you know, important. Even while we've been in lockdown, the library has been able to offer an online service, and how much that's been a real big gap in people's lives, not being able to go to the library and use like the Wi-Fi and a gathering place. And so the library offers a service that's much wider than just borrowing books. The same with our community centres and our leisure centres. I mean, we hear that people who work the night shift might use a leisure centre to be able to have the place where they have their shower because they don't have that facility at home. And then it's the investment that we also make. And like we've seen through the lockdown that we've basically eradicated rough sleeping. Now, the government's offered to continue funding a lot of the beds for a few more months, but councils, you know, as a council, we need to ensure that we can keep rough sleepers off the streets. So there's a whole lot of stuff that council does that I think, you know, is so important to the community and maintaining community wellbeing and the resilience of the community and our overall safety, community cohesion, all comes from a lot of what council does quietly in the background. And this is where, when we have this debate about a budget, we hear lots of different conflicting views about, well, what is important and what should be invested in.
You noted there about the eradication of rough sleeping during COVID-19. Obviously, this is a project going forward that will need a lot of central government buy-in and central government support. How do you see council and local government moving forward with central government? How do you see that relationship working? And what steps do you see as essential on that topic of continuing the eradication of homelessness or rough sleeping in Tamaki Makaurau?
Well, we've got the model right. Like, we know Housing First works, that you just provide accommodation and then you provide the wraparound services. And that's essentially what happened during the lockdown, that everybody who was out in the street got offered a bed and were placed in motels. And the government has offered to continue that support for a while in the short term, but it's going to be, well, what happens when the funding runs out? And there will be, I mean, there are going to be more beds coming on stream, like you've got the City Mission's Home Ground project, which I think has got about 80 emergency beds in it. But also, because we're going to have, like, it probably isn't going to be a big, you know, it's going to be a while before we see international tourists back again. Hopefully there will continue to be motel beds that can be used. But it seems, I mean, it's kind of come down to budget. When government provides the budget and council and works with council and with the homeless organisations, it's pretty much being solved.
This is a hugely naive question, and I can think of many an answer to it. But why has it taken COVID-19, and how has it been done so efficiently and so well because of COVID-19 to get to this point without the same numbers of rough sleepers, without the same presence of homelessness within the city?
Well, exactly. I mean, it was because of the concerns about infection and knowing that it was going to impact vulnerable people more, there was just a massive will to get people off the streets very, very quickly. And those beds were there in the motels. And I guess we just haven't had that alignment of will and resources up until now. I mean, it is disgraceful that it's taken the COVID crisis to make it happen. But it just reflected a whole lot of things and, you know, a whole number of factors, like the fact that we've had a really tight housing market and it's been really hard to find accommodation that works, and it's required the funding.
Most definitely. Do you think it'll be difficult to maintain that will as well as those resources?
Well, a big part of it will be the government funding, and it will depend on what happens at the election in October. But I think council, there's a lot of goodwill now for council to work with government and the NGOs to actually ensure that we've got a good system in place getting people off the street. But it'll definitely be tested as we go into winter.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.